I'm intrigued by the show Prodigal Son on Fox, and so you know what that means, right? I've got to talk to the cast. Lou Diamond Phillips is joining us to chat about the show. Hello, Lou Diamond Phillips, the legend.
Thank you, Jerry. You got to go to the horse's mouth, right? I'll be the horse. I'm okay with that.
All right. Let's talk about that. You know, I'll admit that when I first heard about the show, I guess it's about 2 years ago now, I wondered if we needed more of this kind of drama on TV. And then I saw it and I was like, yeah, we need this. What compelled you to do the show?
That's exactly it. You know, Jeremy, you know, you go, oh my gosh, you know, another police procedural. I mean, you know, how many angles can you come at this from? And, you know, as soon as I read the Prodigal Son script, I realized, well, this is a totally different take. You know, you've seen profiler shows, you've seen cop shows, but this is a genius profiler played by Tom Payne named Malcolm Bright, who is so good at his job because his father is a serial killer.
Right.
You know, who was fortunately, you know, in prison. And that's the jumping off place where then it turns into, you know, the family dynamics of how does, you know, like Bernie Madoff, how does his family deal with his infamy after this? How does it affect, you know, the baggage that the son is carrying? And then, you know, you add into the mix the entire police procedural because he's now working with my team at the NYPD Major Crimes, and I happen to have a connection to the family because I'm the one who arrested his dad. So, you know, it's got a little Silence of the Lambs, a little This Is Us. Family crime drama, let's put it that way.
It's a daytime soap opera and primetime drama all in one is what it is.
Basically, yeah. and you know, the other thing that I think is much appreciated, certainly by the cast and the fandom, is that it has this wicked sense of humor. I mean, it can get twisted, and you know, many fans have said, I can't believe I'm laughing at this, but I am, you know. So the writers have an incredibly deft touch when it comes to the black comedy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so yeah, writing is a, you know, big part of it, obviously, but I think, I mean, the casting is great. But there's just something that seems so natural about everybody's role that they're in.
You know, everybody is spot on, and I think, obviously, they did a great job in the beginning, but what's nice is that, you know, after a season and a half, you get the sense that the writers really know us, and they write to our strength. They write to what we've brought to the table as the characters, and as a result, you know, every character who is a series regular, you know, just gets more rich, gets more deep. We investigate backstories, and you know, it's very exciting. I mean, for instance, you know, the medical examiner, Teresa Tanaka, played by Keiko Agena, you know, she gets her, basically her own episode coming up soon because she's such a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you then, what you brought, you talk about actors bringing things to the table, and I always want to know when somebody, you know, either plays a doctor or a politician, how much either research did you do or how much have you learned along the way about police work? I mean, does it give you a new appreciation for the job?
Yeah, I've always had an appreciation for the job. I've always backed our police, I've always backed our firefighters, our first responders. That's something that I've done my entire life, and that's, you know, probably part and parcel of being a military brat, you know, having grown up on Navy bases around the world and you know, really having a respect for people who, you know, are duty bound. And when I came into this, it's interesting, I didn't really need that much more research because I played a lot of cops. You
right.
know, I played regular cops, I played FBI, you know, I've done military films. And I've specifically done research when it comes to serial killers. For the first Power, I rode around with Detective Bob Grogan for about a week. He was one of the men who helped capture the Hillside Stranglers. And then I recently, with Bellamy Young, who is also in the cast, did a movie about Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. And so I worked with Detective Gil Carrillo, who was part of that task force. So very much like the character, you know, I have this history and I have this baggage that I bring onto the scene, and you know, it's just part of you know, the fabric of who I am, you know, and that I can reach into my back pocket and you know, have these things at my disposal.
And you're not just starring in this show. I was told, did you get to flex your directing muscles at one point as well?
I did. The episode that was last aired, the mid-season break, episode 7. Was one that I got to direct, and not only was the crime of the week absolutely, you know, mouthwatering and fun,
yes,
about the beauty sector, you know, and plastic surgery, I got to introduce Catherine Zeta-Jones to our cast, and Alan Cumming is briefly introduced at the end of my episode, and the episode that's coming up is all about him. So I had a absolute banquet when it came to getting to direct this show. In addition to the fact that I love the writers and I absolutely adore every single member of this cast.
But I got to ask you, I mean, how do you do that? I mean, I would have like multiple personalities. So you're jumping in front of the camera and then you're going behind. How do you do it?
It's ridiculously schizophrenic. There's no two ways about it. It's prep, man. It's all about prep. And it's having the kind of crew that you trust implicitly. You know, I as an actor know when I've got it. And I know when I've given a good take. And then all I have to do is look at the DP and say, was I standing in the shadow? Is it in focus? Are we good? How did it look to you? And if they say yes, we move on. You know, and if there's ever any question, there's video playback. So, I mean, the support system is there to allow you to do this. And quite honestly, you know, when you have a cast as accomplished as ours, mm-hmm. you're just tweaking little things. You're just making suggestions. You're not teaching an acting class. You're not giving a dissertation. You're not having to pull a performance out of anybody. So it's really about creating an environment where they can do their best work, you can do your best work, and that everybody's relaxed as much as, you know, as possible, you know, when you have, you know, 12 hours to do a ton of work.
And I guess after you've done so many episodes together, you know, as a group anyway, you kind of all just have, you just have this groove going, and it's, you know, it just comes naturally.
100%, and you lean on that. I mean, especially having been there, you know, I actually had an advantage over some of the directors who were coming in for the first time, because, you know, there's a level of communication and trust that I have with the cast and the crew to where, you know, we're reading each other's mail. They're anticipating what I want. And if they don't, then it's all about communication. It's about communication and being very clear and being decisive.
So my next logical question then is, do you prefer behind the camera or in front? If you could only do one job, you can't be selfish, only one job, what would it be?
That's just it. That I cannot, you know, I think if I had to, if I were forced to, you know, acting was my first love. But,
yeah.
You know, having come from the theater and having, you know, taken the costume classes, having taken the set design classes, and, you know, the tap dancing, which I was terrible at, you know, you learn to do it all, and you learn to appreciate it all. And I view it you know, branches of the same creative tree. You know, the umbrella is being a communicator or being a storyteller. And you know, I'm just using a different tool set, you know, whenever I get behind the camera, or, you know, whenever I write, you know, having screenplays or a novel or whatever it is. It's just my, you know, ability and trained ability, you know, to tell a story.
We'll talk about more of your writing in a second, but you're lucky that this isn't a Zoom call, because I would have demanded to see the tap dancing.
No, it's pretty terrible. I've got a lazy left foot, for the teller. I'm ambidextrous with my hands, as you know, evidenced in my, you know, knife throwing and young guns, but, you know, when it comes to putting, you know, making both feet work at the same time, no, not so good.
This
I
is
can't shuffle off the Buffalo, man.
This is where you blame it as quarantine foot, I guess.
There you go.
Almost at a time. I always have to give, you know, a fellow author a shout out to plug their book. You put out a new one last fall. Quickly tell everybody about it.
Absolutely. It's called The Tinderbox, Soldier of Indira. It's inspired from the short story by a fairy tale by Hans Christian Andersen. And beyond that, it was actually inspired by a series of drawings that my wife was doing that were supposed to be a graphic novel. And it's a sci-fi, fantasy, fable that, you know, fortunately has been incredibly well. It came out in November. It topped a lot of the Amazon lists. It's still going strong, and I'm actually working on the sequel.
Ooh, when can we expect that?
Between being actually able to, you know, have worked as an actor,
right,
and sometimes directing, it's slow going, but the first novel took 10 years. This one is moving along quite much more quickly, to be quite honest. So I'm hoping to get it out next year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say maybe 9 years. Okay, we'll take it next year.
Exactly.
Sure. Before then, though, we're going to be watching Prodigal Son on Fox, right? When can we catch the show?
Absolutely. We come back on Tuesday the 13th with a fantastic episode with Alan Cumming. And Catherine Zeta-Jones is now a regular. She's with us for the rest of the season. And those who have been watching the show, it really raises some questions that a lot of people have been asking for a long time. So it gets very, very twisty, very turny, and it's this was also very entertaining because Alan is just an absolute joy to watch. Thank you.
We got you. All right, Lou Diamond Phillips, thanks so much for joining us today.